College football season is over. Now we pivot to 2021, which will be one of the more discussed, sifted through, anticipated, ignored. Give me some other words about the upcoming 2021 football season around here.
Unpredictable.
Roller coaster ride. Hoping, wishing, and praying. How's that go? How's that song go? Hoping, wishing, praying. But the game last night between Alabama and Ohio State that wrapped up the college football season and led Miami fans to wish, hope, and pray that the next game that Devontae Smith plays will be at the same stadium that he played last night, that they grab him at number three for a weapon as Tua. Scheme maximizes maximum ability. That is now on my business card. Scheme maximizes maximum ability. Welcome to Alabama offense in 2020. And Bill O'Brien now will be the new offensive coordinator, taking over for Steve Sarkisian, who is going to Texas. But watching that game, and ESPN poured a lot of interest into it yesterday. You know, they spend a lot of money on the NBA. They spend a lot of money on the NFL. They are going to cut back on their investment in Major League Baseball. They really, and then I think they'll kick the tires on the NHL. And I think they desperately want to be in the Super Bowl rotation. But ESPN built college basketball. ESPN was an enormous boost to college basketball when ESPN began. ESPN, whether you think they're biased or whatever, you don't like their commentators, the reality is ESPN has been a huge boost to college football. I think, and maybe this is because I'm a fan of the sport, I think they could cover college football more. But I also think that, and last night was the biggest stage for college football, and the presentation was fantastic. I thought Fowler and Herbstreit, you could tell in their voices they were disappointed it wasn't more of a game. But in terms of the presentation, of the things that ESPN does, college football still is their best presentation. I mean, the College Game Day, which probably needs a little bit of an update to it, and they've got some realistic competition, but if Urban Meyer is not sitting on the set at Fox, boy, where does Fox go? Because Urban Meyer has really made that show, has given that show some credibility. But I think ESPN, the best presentation of their sports that they have is the game of college football. But it's so much as I thought about this and, you know, being at home and not being able to go to games is we'll get the stadiums open in 21 and people will come back because they want to be back. They went a whole year without going to games, especially around here. But the way ESPN presents college football, the way the NFL is being presented these days, that at-home experience, maybe during this pandemic when more people have watched games at home than have had the ability to go to stadiums, are going to mean less people going to stadiums down the road because the stadiums cannot recreate their in-home experience, where you can see more of the game than if you're sitting at home. Stuff that we already know, but maybe during this year has been reiterated even more. But ESPN does a great job in their presentation. And you can tell that that is a product that they embrace. Again, I'd like to see them do more. Because they also listen to their viewers. Did you notice the down and distance box, the score bug? The graphic, they changed that. It did not look like it was a flag every play. They listen. Usually when people, you know, for like those little things that do bug you, when you say something and it starts to pick up momentum publicly, ESPN usually will respond. Now here's the next step that I would like to see. They do their college football live show, but they don't do it year round. I think ESPN, and they've got NFL shows that are year-round. hour long. I think ESPN would be okay. They would get a really good response by doing college football year-round. I know it's regionalized right now, but college football year-round, I think, would benefit ESPN. And this always, these kind of discussions always leads me to the hope and the dream and my volunteering to do it. The Big Ten Network having a Paul Feinbaum type show where they've got a daily talk show. For some reason, I get home at, within the 2 o'clock hour, and I'll flip over to the SEC Network and I'm watching Feinbaum's show. It's entertaining. It's engaging. It's a lot about college football. It's a lot about the SEC. I wish the Big Ten Network would do that. Find a personality. Okay, I'll be in Chicago. No problem. I'll move there. Find a personality. I think you could do a talk show year-round. But I think ESPN does a great job in their presentation. You might disagree with some of the people they have on air, but I think their presentation of the game of college football is really good. I'll be curious in the next year what they do with Lee Corso. You know, because of COVID, Corso and safety and, guys in his 80s, you keep him at home in his home in Orlando and he's sitting by his pool. He's getting up there in age. It was kind of weird. Anytime I see somebody in a hologram, George, it's very odd to me. And so the AT&T commercial last night with David Pollack and Lee Corso would show up in a hologram was kind of like, yeah. I mean, I like Tupac. I wasn't so much when Tupac showed up in the first hologram.
Yeah.
Or Michael Jackson.
Yeah, not here for it.
You're dead, be dead.
Let's be honest. I had to look it up. I was like, did he die?
Lee Corso?
Yeah, when I saw the hologram. Because usually holograms are for dead people. So I was like, did he die? I went to Google. I was like, oh, okay, no, he's still alive. All right.
So I don't know what they'll do with him on game day. You know, will he still be part of their set?
Yeah.
And if you don't have a Lee Corso on your game day, do you still do the mascot head on his picks? I do believe that when Nebraska and Oklahoma play, because I'm looking at the schedule on September 18th of this upcoming college football season, there's a good chance that either game day or Fox's show will be in Norman. You know, depending on what network gets that game, I think that game will be very sexy to both of the networks. Possibly Fox, that being the 11 a.m. game, or if you're ABC, ESPN, put that game in primetime. Because those two teams playing, one's going to be a preseason top five team. They're going to get a bunch of eyeballs on them. All right, to the Equitable Bank inbox we go, where they take banking personally. A lot of discussion on Wandale Robinson's decision, what he said or did not say, and now what Nebraska does moving forward. And about last night's win by Alabama over Ohio State. Chris starts us off, and this is just to reiterate the point, 21 college football playoff games have been played. 17 have been won by Clemson or Ohio State or Alabama. Only 6 of those 21 games have been one score. The average margin of victory has been 19 points. College football gets their national champion right. During the BCS era, it seemed like the championship game was a little bit more competitive. But tip of the cap to the last three teams that have won a national championship. They're really, really good. Two of them are in the discussion as the best college football teams of all time. 19 LSU, 20 Alabama. Go a year before that, Clemson. So those three teams, they haven't, in their playoff games, nobody's come within 17 of them. You know, 31-14, Alabama and Notre Dame, that's 17. The average margin of victory for the last 3 years by the champions in the 6 games that they played has been 25 points. Just by expanding the playoff isn't going to change that. Every year there's maybe one or two teams that realistically are good enough to win 2 games and win the title. I'm a 4-team guy. I think expanding it is pointless. Unless you just want fresh teams in there, but we're going to get to the same result. The only way we do that is if TV ratings have bottomed out. And I haven't seen the TV ratings from last night. People may have found other things to do during this year. They forgot about it. TV ratings might not be great. Chris says, 4 through 100 are irrelevant. Give me Bama, Clemson, Ohio State. I will give you the field. Want to put $100 on that? George, you're my compass here. You're a gambling man. You're deep into the pictures of the new casino that's going to be at the Lincoln Racecourse.
Oh, yeah.
Should I take Chris up on this? I'll give him Bama, Clemson, Ohio State. I take the field for $100.
No, don't take that.
You don't think Georgia is going to jump up there and upset the apple cart next year?
They could jump up there, but
Oklahoma? Get rid of their demons of playoff losses?
Not next year.
I will think about this. I will put this in the hold box. Okay. Chris, we may have something. People go, man, you're dumb. You're dumb. Why wouldn't you take that? Sean said it's been on the ESPN crawl since PTI yesterday. And Wandale Robinson is leaving Nebraska.
I'm going to pay attention to the crawl.
Slow sports week. David writes in, Gary, isn't the issue running back? If Robinson is leaving and the reason you see, you have to think he knows that he is the only guy sitting at the top of the running back room, Diedrich leaves, so we have a hole at running back. This is the time that we have to have a heart-to-heart with Luke and move him to wide receiver. I think he excels there. If Omar Manning appears, maybe we aren't in such a bad position at wide receiver. How much worse can we be in the last 3 years? But need to deal with the running back position, which I think Scott can handle. Additionally, Adrian and Logan need to have a real battle. I think the thought should be that this is Logan's to lose. Adrian has had his chance. The ability to read downfield just isn't there. Thoughts? All right, let's sift through this. Let's first start with wide receiver. You know, yesterday was twofold. One, Nebraska got a very intriguing grad transfer, Torre from Montana. He had 2,488 yards, 20 scores in 3 years in a good FCS program. He's 6'3". You see a trend. Nebraska is recruiting tall wide receivers. I can't guarantee you we're going to get the ball downfield to these tall wide receivers, but they're recruiting tall wide receivers. The expectation for him at that position, which now is void of a guy that had 51 catches for you last year, and a guy that has had 91 catches over the last 2 years of the 17 wide receivers or tight ends that have been recruited in the last 3 years, Wandale had 91 catches. The other 16 players had 46 catches. So there's a definite hole there. So what will be the expectation of the newest addition to Nebraska's wide receiver room? One, he puts the onus on Matt Lubick in 21. Because his former head coach has said the guy that Nebraska is getting is an NFL prospect. NFL people feel like he is a prospect because of his size and his ability and his route running. He runs really, really good routes. So you've been handed an NFL prospect. Not that you've been developed elsewhere. He's coming here to get some high-level tape. Play against the Oklahomas, the Ohio States, the Iowas, the Wisconsins of the world. You can't mess it up. If the guy is an NFL prospect when he walks in your door, he better walk out as an NFL prospect. I liked when I heard on Sunday that there was a chance. I like it even more. One, he's coming to Nebraska to prove himself. He knows that he can get to the NFL and he had to see something or being sold something that lets him know that Nebraska can help him get to the NFL. Remember Wandale Robinson, his NFL discussion. Also joins a wide receiver room where Omar Manning is still around, but we don't know what's going to happen there. If his mind's right, body right, we'll see. If he's gotten those things fixed, then it's go time. No excuses. Better have a big spring. You got Betts, Brown, Martin. You throw in Nixon, Neville, Ramir Johnson. It's a big year for Matt Lubick, especially attached to one player. Yeah, the younger guys have to develop, and I don't know that Nebraska, if you're real comfortable if Nebraska opens up against Illinois and Falk and Lever are two of your top wide receivers. If that's the case, we go, what are we doing? No offense, but what are we doing? Now, Levi Falk proved others wrong, became a viable outlet at wide receiver. Oliver Martin worked his way into the rotation late in the year. So this is a good pickup for Nebraska. Now, part of David's question about Wandale Robinson and the void at wide receiver, who takes over that position? Nixon? What becomes of Ramir Johnson? See, what I'm leading to is spring needs to be a time where Nebraska gets better, but it's okay to experiment. Cam Jurgens at guard. Ramir Johnson playing the duck R position, or whatever you want to do with Ramir Johnson. Oh, but wait a minute. Ramir Johnson is a running back. Now you got Wandale Robinson, who had done a lot at running back because you didn't have a stable guy, and the void of not having an every down back seems to have disappeared over the last couple of years. So what happens at running back? What happens at running back is I would think it would be a loss for Nebraska in the offseason if there is not a transfer that is involved in that position. I think Marvin Scott is very highly thought of. After that, you have some intrigue, but you don't know. I think Savion Morrison is somebody that they have high hopes for, but was stalled this year by injuries in the vid. I got no good answers because it's a mystery to me why that position has not worked out. But here's probably at the end of the day why that position has not worked out. The commitment to a downhill running game with a power running back. That you just don't do it because of the team you're playing. It's part of your identity. We're going to run the ball downhill. Look at the bookends of this past season. The game plan against Ohio State, I liked. I think out of the gate, weird offseason, throw a wrinkle into Ohio State, have McCaffrey and Martinez running a circus, playing a two-man game. It worked for a while. But you know what also kind of quietly, during all of that stuff going on, worked? Was Dedrick Mills and a downhill running game. So let's bookend it. Then what happened at the end of the year? Regardless of the opponent, there was a commitment to running the football. If you make a commitment to running the football, what does that do to that position group? Or is it the chicken and the egg? If your commitment to running the football with a power running game and finding a running back that runs downhill, you trust that room. There's a lot of unknown at that position. A lot of unknown. That's why if a guy like Marquis Stepp from USC rings the bell and says, I'm coming, then you feel good. He's got some tread on his tires at USC. This guy that ran for over 5 yards per carry. But what all this discussion is about, whether Wandale Robinson's in the program or not, it circles back to who is the guy pulling the trigger. If you fix quarterback, is it a trickle-down effect? Line's better. Receivers, man, those routes look great. Their ability to separate looks great. Running right down the seam looks great. Running backs hitting the hole, bam. Because of consistency of quarterback. But running back is a position that I think everybody is uncomfortable with because there's no proven answer there. We talked about in the crossover, you shake your head and wonder, wow, how quickly things flipped with Nebraska football, that there is more of a comfort level on the defensive side of the football. More known there than on the offense. Who is this program? But that may be okay at the beginning of this year because you're going to play a couple of programs right away that are going to try and put up 50 points, Oklahoma and Ohio State. So you'd much rather be more sound defensively probably at the beginning of the year than offense, which offense then can find an identity. We'll talk about what is upcoming as the way too early 2021 preseason polls are coming out. May only be a couple of teams that would be out of the usuals that could mess up the Clemson, Alabamas, and Ohio State and any thought of me betting $100 with Chris. 12:22, back for a quick segment. Then we'll chat with Matt Lothar from KATV. Robin Washick coming up at 1. Tom Chattel will stop by about 1:20 on the Gary Sharp Show on 1620 The Zone.